Well, while the mighty moose is native to a part of our state, it doesn't range as far south as mid-Michigan. But wildlife lovers now have a chance to see these magnificent creatures at Lansing's Potter Park Zoo. Its recently completed moose habitat has transformed a once quiet corner of the park into a facsimile of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Current State's Peter Wharf met up with the Potter Park Zoo's education curator, Dennis Laidler, for a lay of the land.
We're one of only nine zoos, accredited zoos in the United States, that have moose on exhibit. And
where are some of the others?
Well, the two closest are the Columbus Zoo in Ohio and a zoo called the Northeast Wisconsin Zoo, or the New Zoo, in Green Bay. So it's about a full day's drive in any direction to go to another zoo that has moose. And they need space. They need a major water feature. And so when we were researching the things and whether we decided what and whether we'd even have moose, you know, you look at, do we have the right area? And it turns out this end of the zoo, because it's in the floodplain of the Red Cedar, already had a pond. It had a lot of mature vegetation. It had all the elements that were needed for the kind of space that we wanted to have.
What was the area before?
It was extra space, and then it was a waterfowl pond. And waterfowl pond is sort of a stretch. We just had two swans, disabled swans there. There were a lot of ducks and geese, but they were wild mallards and wild Canada geese that would just happen to use the pond. There are challenges. You know, first of all was working with state and federal agencies to bring in a member of the deer family, making sure there were moose available from a legitimate source. It's very, very rare for an accredited zoo to get an animal from the wild. For the last several decades, 98% or more of all of our animals at accredited zoos and aquariums come from other accredited zoos and aquariums. But remember, at the time, there were only eight institutions that had moose, and only a couple of them were breeding and breeding successfully. And the best at doing that was the Minnesota Zoo, and we were working with them. But their prime producer of moose calves had a difficult pregnancy. She didn't survive, and neither did the calf. And so they were set back in their breeding program for a few years. And so we talked to the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the state veterinarian, Michigan Department of Agriculture, and the big concern was chronic wasting disease, which unfortunately has showed up in Michigan regardless of their efforts. And sometimes you just can't control. But so they said, well, if it comes from, if we work with a state agency, state wildlife agency, based on our best information, there's two states that we would approve a moose coming from the wild, and that would be Idaho or Alaska. And Alaska has, unfortunately, because they have so many moose, they have moose car accidents, which if we think deer car accidents here in Michigan are bad, it's a lot worse.
They're twice as bad.
Yeah, or more. Yeah, and so unfortunately, they always have a few orphaned moose calves each year from moose car accidents. And they had a program where they work with the Alaska Zoo to house them and try to find a home for them. So I'm telling you this in a few minutes, but this took months of meetings and working out with all the potential partners.
Are you in competition with other zoos in some way?
No. In fact, it's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. There are many benefits of being accredited zoo. We could do a whole show on what accreditation means and why it's important. I'd be happy to do that sometime.
Let's do that.
To give you an idea, there are a little over 2,500 licensed USDA public animal entities in the United States, and about 230 or so are accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And so it's more than just, do you take good care of the animals? There's a lot of other things. But one of the strengths of that is that we all share resources. Like I said, not only did we talk to the other eight zoos that have moose, they shared all their best practices, all the things that they had happened that didn't work out well. They shared sort of videos. Our keepers talked to their keepers. So we weren't starting from scratch. We had the best available information from the most successful zoos at doing moose husbandry. So that makes a big difference. And so we were able to, and then of course is how do you get the moose here? Assuming that we get the moose exhibit and all those things happen.
looking at the photos over here that give you some idea of how moose get around.
Yeah, that was a different program back in the 80s, a really cool program to help jumpstart our recovering moose population in the UP.
Right. Looking at the moose lift by helicopter here and the moose on the sling.
But they didn't do that with the calves. Right. And I see the keepers out there, which means that the moose aren't out. So they're walking the perimeter of the exhibit.
Where might they be now?
They'll be in the barn or in there. They also have off-exhibit holding. So that's the nice thing about having a big space. We have not only a large exhibit. Next to the barn, there is another enclosure that allows us, one, to do things like walk the perimeter, fence, check for things. We do that very frequently.
This has got to be one of the largest areas in the zoo.
It is, by far. It's over 4 acres, and none of our other exhibits are close to that.
Can you describe what we're seeing right now?
Yeah. What we have here at the public viewing, and that was very important in designing this exhibit, that we have what we call unobstructed viewing, that you're not looking through a fence to see the animals. Now, when you have an animal that can clear an 8-foot fence and stands 6.5 feet at the shoulder, there's some challenges involved with that. So basically, it involves having the viewing area without any barriers, you know, at eye height. And the way you do that is it had to be excavated to a certain depth so that when the moose are up close, they're in the water. We added this waterfall not only just for aesthetics, but it also helps oxygenate the water and reduce algae growth. So most of these things have multiple functions. You know, one of the challenges when we first surveyed the area is moose being ruminants, you know, have a complicated digestive system. In the wild, they eat a lot of different types of vegetation, woody vegetation throughout the year, and in the summer, a lot of aquatic vegetation. But this is an urban area, so we have a lot of purposely introduced and accidentally introduced invasive species. And so we're very fortunate to have a strong relationship with multiple departments at Michigan State. Dr. Peter Carrington is a world-renowned toxic plant expert, and he helped us by doing surveys here. And we had to remove about 70% of the woody vegetation because it turned out to be a potential problem for the moose.
Education curator at the Potter Park Zoo, Dennis Laidler. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.